can't find my glasses. That should be my goddamn, but...
They were on the table.
But it ain't. Not the cat eye ones. I could have worn those. Did you see other ones?
Well, those weren't cat eye.
Mm, they might have been Lee's.
Oh, they might have been. They were attached to a strap.
That's Lee's.
Which I thought was lame.
Well, then you should have immediately thought, those aren't Stacy's.
No, I thought
my best friend's not lame.
Maybe she's old now.
You just, like, accept these things about me,
you know?
That aren't even true.
I accept you how you come, you
Thanks.
Know?
I appreciate that about you.
Yeah.
God damn!
You guys, you're going to hear my stomach.
Uh-oh. She acting
so
up.
Much. I got, like, period poos or something. I don't really know. I did just chug an insane amount of liquid, though, so.
Yeah.
I'm Could be that.
On, working on this coffee right now. I had Rubio's a minute ago, so.
Oh, you're going to have bubbly guts, too.
Working them out.
What kind of Rubio's did you get?
Girl, you know I got the bean and cheese.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me about that. It's, like, different there.
It's different.
Ooh, I love the little street tacos.
Oh, yeah, they do have
Anytime I can get tacos. A street taco.
Honestly. You know?
Even if it's not on the street.
This is a building taco?
This is an establishment?
This is an in-home taco.
I'll fucking eat it. Put a little mini taco in my hand, and I will eat it.
Uh-huh.
I just like that they're tiny. It takes me a couple bites.
Yeah.
And I get three.
And you get a lot of lime on it.
So much lime and cilantro and onion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about. God damn, I want Rubio's. I haven't had that shit in a minute.
Neither had I, and I was over at my freaking doctor.
And you're like, I'm gonna get Rubio's.
And they're right by a Rubio's, and I was like, oh, shit.
I'm going to eat that shit up.
I'm going to do that shit. I went to the mall to get Rubio's. Shit.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Well, it's an outside mall. So.
It is an outside mall.
I feel like that doesn't count as going to a mall.
Literally every mall is an outside mall except for one.
Hmm. Never thought about it like that.
At least in San Diego.
Honestly, I think you might be right. Anyway. How's life?
It's great.
Oh, I love that. I love this journey.
I have several goddams, but Ooh. I'll tell you the best one, and that is that I pet a bunny this morning.
What?
Was it a pet? No.
A wild bunny?
It was a wild bunny.
You better be fucking careful. I got attacked by one of them fuckers.
By a wild bunny?
Yeah, remember in Arizona?
No.
When Tyson jumped out of the fucking car? What's up, Tyson? I'm sure you don't even know this exists.
No.
I'm not sure you still exist. I hope so. I love you. Come back to me. We were driving to his house, to his parents' house, and he jumped out of the car because he's like, bunny! And then he ran into the barbed wire fence because he didn't see it when he was chasing the bunny. You were there.
His
pants
I think
were
drunk.
Ripped to shreds. Oh. Well, then he had a pet bunny at his house that was wild. It was like he caught it and put it in a cage, and he brought it out. And I was like, what's up, bunny? And then the bunny was like, fuck you. And I'm like, fuck you, too. And I just walked away, and he fucking latched onto my pants. And then he did a little bunny kick thing.
Oh, shit.
And he bit a hole through my pants, and I was like, fuck wild bunnies. That day, I don't like bunnies.
Wow.
But they are soft.
They're so soft. Yeah, this one had a fucked up thing on its head. And I was like,
God, do you have rabies?
Maybe. I used sanitizer.
Oh, good. Then you're fine.
It's fine. And he let me pet him. He, like, fucking sat there. And at first he was like, ah, person. And I was like, hey, man, we're cool. And then he was like, oh, we're cool. And I was like, did that work just now? So I'm gonna bend down now.
Oh, shit.
And just fucking pet it. And he was like, you said we're chill. We're fucking
Do you think
chill.
He was, like, injured?
I don't know. I think it had, like, a big-ass tick on its face.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. Because there was, like, a lump or something, some kind of growth on its face. And
was this
I was
at
like,
your house?
No.
Oh.
At work? So wild. But no, it was at daycare. I was dropping, off
fuck
kid.
Yeah, I'm going to touch this bunny.
Yeah, and she was like, a bunny. And I was like, don't touch it. We don't touch wild animals. And then I dropped her off, and I was like, I'm going to get that fucking bunny.
Dude, similar story. At my kid's school, there was a possum, and it was, like, stuck in the fence. I don't really know, but it was just sitting there, and it was, like, just staring. There was a crowd of people, and all I kept thinking was, like, my TikTok is full of people just scooping these motherfuckers up. I'm about to scoop this thing up. But people with, like, radios were there, like, animal control's coming, and I was like, will I get in trouble if I just scoop this thing up?
Like, they got it handled.
And then as I was walking by, I was thinking, like, I'm just going to fucking do it, right? Like, or I'm going to stop and see, like, do I scare it away or is it stuck? I'm going to assess the situation.
Yeah.
And its nose was runny. Like, a little drip came out. And then I thought, rabies? Maybe I shouldn't.
Oh.
And if it's still and not moving, maybe something's wrong. Because I was thinking if it's stuck, I'll free it.
They pretend to be dead, though.
Yeah, he was looking fine, other than the nose drip. And then I was like, she's got a radio. I can't do this. My kid has a reputation
to uphold. Doesn't involve his mother fucking saving possums.
Possums. Anyway, so you pet a bunny. That's fucking bunny. Exciting. Yeah. Goddamn Disney princess over here.
Goddamn
catching birds.
Disney princess.
Petting bunnies.
I was like, you're still here when I come back. You're coming home. That one's And I'm going to get that fucking tick off your face.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. And bunny makes bad decisions. Didn't run away at all.
Didn't even try. Like, catching ticks.
Yeah. Catching ticks. He didn't seem hussy. Scared at all. He just sat there like, oh, fuck.
Maybe it was someone's pet.
Nah, it was a wild bunny.
Yeah, it was one of the brown ones.
Yeah.
A little tiny brown one.
Yeah.
Aw, how cute. The ones that the hawks scoop up and eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one of them.
Those are them. Yeah. So what's your
Lucky. Mine is not as cute and fun or wonderful, but like the pork femurs that you can buy for dogs to chew on? That is like a real fucking bone,
animal bone,
and it comes wrapped in plastic and you take it off and all these little smoky bits come off. My dog, Chelsea, loves those things. Mm-hmm. Like, she will get it and just like, like cry with it in her mouth and run everywhere and bury it in the yard and like unbury it. And then she'll chew on it for like 5 minutes and go hide it somewhere else. So Chell loves these things, and I haven't gotten one for Chip yet.
Yeah.
And so I was on my Amazon doing my shopping, probably late at night, and I thought, oh, shit, I haven't got one of these in a while. I'll throw that in the cart, too. You know, it's like $35 minimum or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'll just get a couple of those. So I throw it in the cart, totally forgot about it. It comes in the mail. I'm like, hell yeah, I forgot. Whatever, these dogs are about to have a fucking treat. So I open them up and I give them to the dogs. Now, Lee is like the bone Nazi. And he will keep an eye on the bone and then be like, okay, Chell, that's enough. And like pick it up because she'll chew on it all night long if you let her.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll always come down to like a stick. You know, like she gets the two balls chewed down and then it'll be a stick. And it'll be a stick forever. Like she'll clean it to where it's like white. And she just carries it around burying it everywhere. Now, Chip, on the other hand, she got that shit and she's like, I'm gonna eat this like it's my meal right now. And she ate her bone fucking instantly. And then I bailed on life and I was like, whatever, I got other things to do and I'm not the bone Nazi. And Lee has no idea that I just gave these bones to the dogs. So,
oh God,
they're about to have the best life ever. So eventually Chip gets Chell's bone and she's going to town on it. And so Chell doesn't really get her treat that much, right? Like she had a nibble maybe and then Chip was like, fucking mine. But they were kind of small and I didn't really care, whatever. But they splintered everywhere. Like she chewed them into a bunch of little pieces, and that is when you've got to like pick them up, throw them away, whatever, really keep an eye on it. But I again was like, she seems fine, like she's not making weird sounds, she's okay in the story.
Okay.
Both dogs are okay in the story. You should be worried about me because I just mentioned splintered bones all over my floor that I failed to pick up. Okay? And so it's dinner time and I'm bringing the kids. We have like a little mini table that they sit at for dinner if we're not going to do like at the table, which is pretty rare now. But it's like right in front of the TV and then Lee and I eat on the couch because fucking that's
adults.
Our life. Fuck off. Yeah. Okay, so I'm bringing the kids their plates, and as I'm walking, I fucking trip or something on one of these bones. It fucking was sharp like a shank, and it went into my foot.
Oh, no.
So then it's like I have a heel, you know, like I'm wearing high heel shoes or something in my fucking foot. But it happened so fast, I stepped on it after that. And then I lifted my fucking foot up, and there was just a bone shooting out of my foot.
What the hell?
Oh, my God. I was like, what? And, like, fell on the couch / ground, and I was like, because it hurt. I just stabbed myself with a fucking pork femur bone.
Yeah.
And it was sticking out of my foot.
Oh,
so
my God.
I literally just had to tap it, and it fell out.
No, it was required surgical intervention.
The pain. It was like the equivalent to stubbing your toe to where you think your toe was broken, you know?
Yeah,
it was like that shit where you're like, it's not fucking going away. And I'm so mad and like instantly angry and like tense and like, fuck off. And my kids are like, Mommy, are you okay? And I'm like, no.
Here's your
what
dinner.
The fuck.
Ungrateful shit.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And then I look at my foot and it starts bleeding and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, do I need a stitch or something?
Oh, God.
And I'm trying not to be dramatic.
You just need some super glue. It's your heel.
I know. Actually, it was the ball of my foot.
Oh.
I'll show you. I'm a dirty ass.
Oh, see that thing? Oh, that's like in your arch.
Yeah, it was like in my arch.
Oh, that's your sensitive part.
Ew, it's all wet too from that water I flung.
Mm.
Anyway, And then it started to bleed, right? But I was like holding the blood on. It didn't need stitches, but I could like, it was a gaping hole and it fucking hurts. And Lee kept coming over to look at it. And I was just like, it doesn't look as bad as it feels.
Aw, yeah. Isn't that the worst though?
This happened like 4 days ago. My foot is fucking killing me. I couldn't walk around the first couple of days. At least I was working from home. I think this happened like either Sunday or Monday. But anyway, I was working from home. So I was like, okay, thank God I don't have to put shoes on or anything. Like, this thing fucking sucks. And then I had to go to the office and I'm just like, my foot hurts. Like, I can't tell people what happened. They don't care. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And then it had bruise. And then it looked like it was getting infected because it was a red streak going up my foot. Ooh. Because I didn't like really clean it.
Oh,
I just put Band-Aid on it.
Ew.
And then I'm like, ew, there's like fucking blood and guts on that thing from the animal.
Yeah.
I probably have rabies.
You might.
It's better now, though. It doesn't look, I mean, it still hurts. It feels like a deep bruise.
Yeah.
Like all around my foot. But it doesn't look infected or anything.
Oh, God.
So anyway, I shanked myself with a bone shard.
That's a pretty solid circle, though. That looked like stigmata or whatever.
It went in. Yeah. It's not wide.
You should have just like
deep.
Poured some peroxide in there at least.
I took a shower and I kind of tried to wash it, but it fucking hurt. Like it hurt even to do that.
I bet.
Ugh. Like if I gaped it, I was like, ow, ow, ow.
Talk about gaping it.
Well, I'm just saying. It was, I did it. I did a number.
Oh, God.
I'm better now, though, but that's my
guy. That's good. I'm going to have that pretty soon where I can't walk for 6 weeks.
That's going to suck. I had a little tiny shank.
Yeah, it's going to fucking suck. It's going to suck so bad.
It's going to be so worth it, though, when your feet don't hurt all the time.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see, you know?
We'll find out.
We'll fucking see.
You know what? You're going to help somebody else with bunions on this podcast. Just talking about it.
Anybody with bunions?
Get rid of your bunion shame.
That's had a... Yeah, fuck that shame.
Yeah.
Anyone who's had the surgery...
Let Aaron know.
Let me know how that went, because I'm going to do that pretty soon, and that's fucking terrifying.
Ugh. Yeah. Gonna bust your bones apart.
Ooh, they're going to break them.
Hey, guess what?
Hey.
I was going to burp, but it's too wet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like you might throw up.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Gross. Anyway, you might throw up.
What?
Like you might throw up, yeah.
Yeah, I did. In my mouth.
In my throat. That's called acid reflux.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Would you like to talk about murder?
Duh.
Great, because you'll not believe what I have in store for you today.
Murder.
Murder.
Murder in the first degree.
It's actually going to be capital this time.
But... Ooh, okay.
Mm, yeah. Okay. I should have Googled the difference. Oh. I do every time, and
you
every time I'm
remember.
Like, this is what it means. Yeah, and then I forget every fucking time.
That's
so.
Right.
I think it's like with the intent to go over there and kill. It's like premeditated.
That premeditation shit. Yeah. And then capital, you can get death or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, you can get death for capital. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to tell you all about Michelle Shadbolt.
Okay.
Okay? I have fucking zero information on the before times because I researched this one.
Yeah, sounds right.
So we're just jumping right in, okay?
Okay.
And I'm going to paint the picture for you, paint the little scene. This is February of 1987.
Great year.
Great year.
We weren't
born
yet. Month.
Yeah. It's okay.
The world was just preparing for our greatness.
The world was getting ready for our arrival.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in Harris County, Texas.
Okay.
Okay. So Michelle had been married to Jack Shadbolt, but they separated right around the new year.
Okay.
Of this year, right? 1987.
Yeah.
So it's like fresh.
Yeah. A month separated.
Yeah.
Some might say.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, right around the new year. I think it said like 6 weeks. So,
oh, okay.
Right. So they had a 2-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
and they had a home near Michelle's dad and stepmom.
Okay.
Okay. So when they separated, Jack went to live with his mom, who was kind of nearby, but, you know, not fucking same street.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle stayed at their house with their daughter.
Okay.
Now, Valentine's Day is coming up. Okay.
Oh, hard day for a fresh separation.
Hard fucking day for a fresh separation.
Either that or a celebratory day.
Either. Or, I don't know who initiated the divorce, but no good marriages end in divorce, right?
Right.
So, either which way, fucking celebrate it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So, she decides she's going to go out with her friends.
Oh, good for her.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "Mom, Dad, watch the kids."
Yeah. She said, "Dad and stepmom, you're going to watch my kid, and I'll pick her up tomorrow. I'm going to go out with my friends, and we're going to have a wild fucking night playing bingo."
I love this journey for her.
I do.
Bingo
too.
Is hard.
Bingo is so hard. Have you seen the little old ladies do it?
I don't know how they do it.
And they're like,
anyway, we're going to do a flying kite next. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Can I get a template?
Yeah, like, what is it?
They've called eight numbers, and I'm like, I don't even know what's going on.
No, and they go so fast. Brandon's grandma will do like fucking 10 of them.
I know.
And it'd just be like, and then she'd be popping mine too. Like, you're missing them. Keep up. And I'm like, I don't even know where I am right now.
The first time I ever played like legit bingo, I was like, hell yeah, this sounds great. I haven't played this in school.
Yeah.
And then I was severely underprepared.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, did you have a dauber?
Yeah, and I had a dauber, but I thought I was going to do, like, diagonal or blackout, you know?
Yeah.
And then they're, like, literally, like, anyway, cat's in the cradle, and I'm like, what the fuck is that?
We're going to do the flying henchman?
And then they're, like, showing, like, there's a teeny tiny picture that shows you the shape, and I'm like, I can't comprehend if I hit all those or not, because it's not like it makes only that shape.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have the outside ones, too. My brain's not made for it. I'm not smart enough. And then they got me a machine, and I was like, well, this is just stupid. I'm just sitting here.
Yeah, no, that's always stupid. That's so much worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, every time they'd call it, and everyone else is fucking daubing away, I'm like, B-I-N-O.
Yeah.
There it is. Oh, yeah. 32. Fuck. Wait. Hold on. What number are you guys on? You're on N already?
And they go, like, N 64, B-12. I'm literally just naming off video consoles and vitamins. Yeah.
N 64. Brandon used to know all the fucking things to it, like B9, be kind, or whatever the fuck they say. Like B9, be mine, whatever they are. They're little fucking rhymes.
Sexy legs of bingo.
Yeah, he used to know them all because he would go with his grandma. And I was like, you're so fucking cute.
So hard.
And he'd play on the cruise ships.
He's such
a privileged kid.
I know, right? Cruise. Well, when we would cruise.
I've only been snorkeling when I cruise. Okay, anyway.
Okay, back to your story.
She's going to go out and play bingo.
Right? Yes. Great night.
Blackout night.
Yes.
Right?
Hell yeah. For it.
So she drops her daughter off at dad's house around 5:15 p.m. on February 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And she was set to pick up her daughter the next morning at 7:30 a.m. And she set off on her girls' night out. Right?
Okay.
But the next morning when 7:30 rolls around, she didn't show up.
Uh-oh.
Keep in mind, this is 1987. If you promise someone you're going to be somewhere, you're fucking there.
Yeah.
Like, this is before cell phones and canceling plans.
Yep. And confirming.
Yeah, and confirming shit. Like, you just show up to the thing that you said you were going to do at the time that you said you were going to do it.
Yeah.
And so her stepmom waited a couple minutes and then called Michelle. But, of course, it's like a house phone, right?
Yeah, so she didn't answer.
She didn't answer. But that doesn't mean she's on her way or not. Doesn't mean anything. So
did you say 7:30 at night or in the morning?
A.M.
A.M. in the morning. Oh, yes. Hangover.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So the mom was like, well, she's probably slept in. Maybe she's hungover. Maybe something, whatever happened. I'll just go drop her off, right?
I'll go
wake up Michelle, drop off the girl.
She's like, take your kid back.
Uh-huh. She's like, I signed up to be a grandmother.
Yeah.
not a mom. Yeah. I don't care if you're hungover. Fucking rite a passage.
Yep. That's how we all do it.
Yep. And so she drove the short distance to Michelle's house, and she got there at about 7:45 a.m.
Oh, damn. She waited no time.
Pretty much, yeah. She was like I'm done here.
15 minutes late.
The kid's been up since 4.
Take her!
Yeah. I gotta go. I got shit to do, you know? And so Michelle didn't answer the door when they knocked.
Uh-oh.
So the stepmom let herself into the home with her spare key.
Mm-hmm.
And inside, she walked into a horrific scene.
Oh, no. Now with the baby, too. Oh, God.
Yeah. So it didn't specify whether or not the baby was with the stepmom, like, going into the house and everything. But, like, I can't imagine that she wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, God. How horrible.
Yeah. But hopefully she got hustled out of there real quick and doesn't have trauma. I'm sure there's trauma around this, but doesn't have lasting, you know, like, images.
Also, side note, not to discount the stepmother, but thank God it wasn't her father who walked in and found all that, you know?
I had the same thought. Like, I'm not discounting the stepmom either because
you don't know the kind of relationship or anything.
Of course. Yeah. Like, they obviously were close enough where she's watching the kids and stuff. So she's obviously
traumatized still.
Absolutely traumatized, yeah. But, like, I don't know. It just feels a little bit a little bit kinder that you don't have to find your biological kid that way.
Yeah. I guess but now that I say that, now I feel kind of bad because I'm like, I don't know what it's like to have a step-parent. Anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I guess I don't either. But I did think that just to spare the dad's feeling. I was like, well, you know, at least there's that.
Yeah. Okay. So what happened?
So anyway, inside, there was blood everywhere.
Oh, God.
And Michelle's body was lying on her side in the living room on the floor.
Oh, no.
With her T-shirt pulled up around her neck.
No.
There was a vacuum out in the living room, and the cord was partially wrapped around her, but they kind of thought it might have happened in a struggle, not necessarily like
it was used for strangulation or anything.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Could you imagine, first of all, if it was used, I was thinking strangulation, but like attached to a vacuum.
Right.
It's like cluttering behind you, clamoring.
Well, it's 1987, so those Hoovers were like, I don't know, 75 pounds.
Fucking brick. My God.
The stepmom obviously fucking books it out of there, right? And she goes to the neighbor's house and calls the police.
Okay.
So Detective Anthony Rossi was the lead guy on the case.
All right. What up, Tony?
Tony. And when he showed up, he said it looked like there was an intense struggle. Ugh. And Michelle had fought hard.
Oh, God.
So, like I said, she was found mostly nude in the living room. She had been stabbed 17 times.
Oh, God.
Some going through her heart, liver, and diaphragm.
Ugh.
So that's clearly what killed her.
Mm-hmm.
She also had shallower cuts that they called, quote, superficial cutting wounds.
Which, oh, like torture?
Yeah.
Or like to scare her?
I think it was more like to scare her. Ew. They were like around her neck.
Oh, God.
And a superficial cutting wound is a cut that doesn't go deep enough to touch fat or muscle, and it's like a half inch or less.
Scratch kind of. Oh, God, a half inch? That's deep.
No, no, like wide.
Oh, 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 oh.
So it's like if it was pressed against you or something, gotcha. Like that might kind of do okay. it. But it generally doesn't require like stitches or anything.
Yeah.
Fucking awful.
Yeah, yeah. Terrifying.
And that was all around her neck.
Mm.
She also had blunt force trauma to the top of her head. And the detectives believe this was caused by a trophy that was lying nearby covered in blood.
Okay, makes sense.
Her knees, face, and shoulder were covered in carpet burn.
Oh, God, no.
Right?
Ugh.
Right?
Ugh.
And she...
Like a rug burn?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
She also had bloody...
It was a carpet? This you is know, permanent.
They said carpet burn, and I was like, I know exactly what that is, obviously. And I wrote carpet burn. And now that you say rug burn, I'm like, it's definitely rug burn. Like, that's the...
No, they specified. That shit was from the carpet.
It was from the carpet. There were no rugs around Stacy.
Yes. Sorry.
So she also had bloody fingerprints on her butt that the detective said looked like if someone was trying to hold her up to rape her.
Oh, God. What?
What the fuck?
Oh, God.
Awful. Right?
Was she raped?
There was sperm found on her genitals.
Oh, my God.
But it didn't appear as if there was trauma to the area.
So maybe she was, like, out by then? Like, dead?
Maybe.
Okay.
I like to think it was the coroner's subtle dig. Like
his dick was small
and he's got a small dick.
Oh my God, I hope she was already gone for that.
I hope so too.
Ugh. Or maybe they fornicated
a little bit later. People are saying like, okay, well, that could have been like consensual sex. You know,
that turned fucking astray
or something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Or that she had had consensual sex with someone else, like previously,
oh,
and
God.
Then this person that killed her
ambushed
was
her in
not
her house or something.
Yeah, but was not the same person that gave the sperm.
What are those odds, though, you know?
Well, and the...
Also, bad night to bone.
Bad night to bone, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But also the medical examiner said that the sperm found on the genitalia was also around her rectum and that it deteriorates quickly, I guess, if it's there. And so they're saying that it was, like, definitely very recent.
On the butthole it deteriorates quickly?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Okay. That bacteria.
Maybe,
munching
yeah.
away.
I don't know. I don't know. But it, maybe it's because it's, like, out in the air or whatever. But, like...
So he's saying, like, it must have happened earlier in the morning then.
No, no, no. It must have happened, like, while she was being murdered or, like,
at the time of.
It wasn't, like, before.
Gotcha. Sorry for using the word butthole.
I wrote beehole and then said rectum like a responsible adult. They also found blood in and around the toilet. And they said that it looked like someone had attempted to clean up using the toilet.
Oh, God. Was she on her period? Was it her blood? Do we know whose blood?
We don't know whose blood.
Okay.
But the only thing that I could think was that they didn't want to leave fingerprints on, like, the faucet handles or something. And so they're like, I'll just dip my hands in the toilet.
Oh, what the
fuck? To rinse them off?
No.
I don't know. That's what I thought. That's what I was picturing.
Grab a piece of toilet paper or something and turn the faucet on.
Or, like, literally anything else. Yeah, I don't know.
Use your fucking elbow.
I don't know. Who cleans up in the toilet?
They think, like, somebody washed themselves off using the toilet water.
Yeah, like, washed off their hands.
I thought you were thinking, when you said cleaning up in the toilet, I thought you meant, like, maybe she was bloody from rape or something and she went to the bathroom and cleaned herself up.
Oh, no.
Like, he washed his hands.
They're thinking that the murderer may have cleaned up themselves, like, cleaned off their hands in the toilet.
Well, now listen.
That's fucking gross.
It's super gross and also very creative.
Yeah, like there's a sink in most bathrooms.
Yeah. But maybe it had like a Clorox tab or something and they were like, get rid of all that evidence.
Maybe.
I don't know. Didn't even flush it though?
Or like wipe it down after? I don't know.
Weird.
I don't know.
Weird.
So all strange. Right.
Okay.
Also in the living room, they found a pair of her shorts, panties, a crumpled up newspaper, and that trophy with blood on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then under the shorts was a large bloody kitchen knife that came from her butcher block.
Oh, no. So whoever did it didn't bring the weapon.
Did not bring the weapon. And also there was no sign of forced entry.
So I'm thinking she brings a dude home from the bar. Something happens. Maybe she's like, you gotta get. And he was like, this always happens to me, and fucking lost his shit and just went crazy?
Maybe.
Okay.
So.
What about the ex-husband?
It's always the ex-husband.
What if he was like, it's Valentine's Day, I'm gonna hide in the house, and when she comes home, I'm gonna be like, surprise. And then she bones, and he busts out of the closet.
And he's like there's still another person involved?
Yeah, and then he runs away. And then jealousy makes him kill her. Anyway, okay, let's see what happens.
So, I'll take you on this journey with me.
Okay.
So, they were able to find a partial palm print on the trophy, but they said that it wasn't enough to confidently match to anyone, but it might be enough to rule people out.
Okay, like if they don't have the certain prints.
Exactly. Okay. Yep. Obviously, there's a fucking commotion going on outside in the street when her body was initially discovered, right? Yeah. And her family, her neighbors are all gathering around. So Michelle's brother, Michael, shows up at the scene, and he's immediately comforted by his childhood friend, William Irvin. William.
Okay. What's up, William?
He grew up in the house, like, fucking catty corner from Michelle and Michael.
Okay.
In his mom's house, right?
Okay. And they're all about the same. So he's down the street.
Yeah. He's, like, literally right there.
Okay. Wait. Catty corner to the parents' house? Or
to the Michelle's. Parents house. The parents' house.
Okay.
But also, I'm not sure. I don't know if she's living in her childhood home and then, like, dad moved just down the street or what the situation is.
Yeah.
But they're all in the same fucking area now.
Neighborhood.
Right? Okay, yeah. But they grew up, like, across the street.
Gotcha.
And he was a childhood friend of Michael's, and he was currently living with his mom in their childhood home. He's able to make himself available to help with cleaning up the scene and comforting Michael and Michelle's parents and making himself available to, like, help however he can, right? Because this is, like, his little sister.
Yeah.
He even served as a pallbearer at Michelle's funeral.
Oh, God, are you about to tell me that he did it?
No.
Okay.
He's a childhood friend.
I don't believe you.
So. Good friend. During this time, the police really don't have any leads as to who might have done it, right? They have this partial print, and they know that she got home at about 2:50 a.m.
Okay.
They talk to the friends, and they're like, well, we dropped her off. I don't fucking know. She wasn't with anybody.
Oh, okay. We have a clue.
Yep. And they have sperm, but it's 1987, so, like, great.
Yeah.
So the cops are stumped, right? Mm-hmm. They don't know of anyone who would do something like that to Michelle. Other than possibly her ex-husband, Jack.
Okay.
He's an ex-husband. Yeah. It's Valentine's Day. Kind of a rough fucking situation, right?
Right.
So they arrested Jack on a misdemeanor hot check warrant.
Oh, okay. At least they had something, huh?
Yeah, they had something. But they're like, we just got to fucking talk to him, right?
Yeah.
But he knows his rights.
Yeah.
And so he refused to answer any questions about it.
Oh, good.
He's smart.
Yeah.
And he did actually give his DNA, though.
Okay.
So, like,
so he's like, I want to help, but, like, don't try to incriminate me.
Yeah, but, like, I'm going to need my lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're unable to match anything to him, and he's let go, right? Mm-hmm. The case goes stale, and they have no new leads or evidence, and then the lead detective on the case gets transferred.
Okay.
So in 1989, a new detective comes in, and he starts from the beginning.
Okay. He's like, fresh set of eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this, like, shit.
I'm going to fucking talk to these people and get this whole thing sorted out.
I'm going to solve this shit.
Mm-hmm. And he asked Michelle's mother, Jacqueline, if she had any suggestions as to who might have done it. And she suggested they look into Diggy, which is William Irvin.
What's up with Diggy?
He went by Diggy.
Diggy, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your sperm just
grosses me out.
Ends up in scenes.
Gets inside me.
Ew!
So she wants them to look into Diggy and another man named Timothy Darden.
Okay, what's up with Tim?
She's like, did you check these motherfuckers out?
Yeah.
They're a little shady sometimes.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm. So the cops brought Diggy into the station on May 17th, 1989.
Okay.
This is like 2 years later.
Yeah.
Right?
He's been living his life. He's
been living his best life.
Best life.
At this point, he's married, has kids.
Oh, shit.
Or kid, I don't know. But their offspring has been had.
Yeah.
And he's told
procreated.
He has procreated. Uh-huh. And nuptialed.
Uh-huh.
And he told them that they had been friends for about 15 years, and he had just gotten back from an offshore job, so that's why he was living with his parents until he went on the next one, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said that he had seen Michelle a day or two before her murder outside of her house.
Okay.
And they had stopped and talked for a little bit about life and her kid. Normal fucking small
catching
talk.
Catching up.
BS. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. He said that she was more of a sister to him, and there was never any romantic relationship.
Questionable. Your dude with a dick.
Right. He was 3 years younger, though, so, like, she was probably always the, like, aloof, you know, fucking come, like, I'm doing my own thing, you know?
Yeah, sure.
He learned that she had died because his mom came into his room and woke him up that morning saying that something had happened over at Michelle's house, and when he went outside, Michael came over, said that Michelle had died, and immediately started crying and hugging him and, like, telling him about it, right?
Okay.
So they let him go because everything checks out.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine they also talked to this Timothy Darden guy, but I couldn't find anything about that in this time.
Okay.
So the case goes cold. They have no other leads.
Damn.
And then in 1998, Roger Wedgeworth, who was working...
Wedgeworth.
Mills.
Yes, we call him Wedgeworth.
Wedgeworth?
Yes.
He was working on the cold cases of Harris County, and he decided to start the investigation back up.
Okay, let's hear it.
So he sent the DNA samples that Jack had given them and the samples taken from Michelle to be tested. Okay. Don't know why this wasn't tested before.
That's a question I have, but maybe all of a sudden it's available now.
Maybe. Maybe they were like, well, there's not much we can do other than he's a secretor or not a secretor or whatever the fuck that thing is.
But that's something. It's we should something. Still do it.
Yeah, but now you can get a little bit more out of it because it's 1998.
Okay.
So there's that. It came back that it couldn't be determined if it was him.
Oh,
so, there's that.
All right.
Roger decided to talk to Jacqueline again, and again, she named William Diggy Thomas.
I wonder why she's so suspicious of him.
Well, this time, she told the detective that back in the day when her kids were teenagers, Diggy had come over for a sleepover with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
But in the middle of the night, Jacqueline woke up hearing Michelle screaming, "Stop it, leave me alone."
Oh, no.
And she ran to her room, and Michelle was in her bed with the covers pulled up, like she's covering herself, right? And Diggy was sitting on the floor in her room.
Nope.
And Michelle said that Diggy had touched her.
Uh-uh.
And he was just acting all innocent. Like, what?
Uh-uh, I don't like that.
So Jacqueline brought Michelle into her room and told Diggy to either go back to Michael's room or go home, but...
leave her the fuck alone.
Back the fuck up, right?
Yeah.
Nothing else happened that night, but Diggy wasn't invited over for sleepovers after that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
No, no.
Fuck
no.
That shit.
No. So, Michael called Diggy, and he's like, hey, man, long time no talk, right?
Yeah.
And he asked him if he had any ideas of anyone who might have had something to do with Michelle's murder. Like, anybody hanging around the house? Did you see anything?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And Diggy broke down. Started bawling, crying, whatever. And he's saying, you know, I had nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay. Suspicious.
And Michael's like... didn't ask.
But now I will.
But now I have questions.
Yeah.
So, he told the cops, like, hey, did you check this motherfucker out?
Oh, like, shit. Okay, so now Michael's even like, we need to check out Diggy.
Uh-huh. And so police contacted both Diggy and Thomas. Fun fact, Thomas was in prison already for unrelated stuff.
Oh, God damn it. What's going on with these people?
And they both consented to give their DNA samples to investigators in the year 2000.
Alrighty.
So Diggy's profile was consistent with the DNA found on Michelle's genitals.
Okay.
But he didn't match a stray pubic hair that was found under Michelle's fingernails. So, like, weird. But, like, it didn't match Michelle's either. It didn't match anybody. It didn't match Thomas.
I don't need no stray pubic hairs under my nails.
Gross.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Was it long?
I don't know. This is curly, motherfucker.
Just sticking out of the nail.
It was 1987, probably.
Good God. Hate that.
Yeah. And Thomas's DNA didn't match any of the evidence, and he's finally taken off the suspect list.
Okay, so we're like, psh, Diggy questionable, Thomas, you're out.
Exactly. So now it's looking like Diggy's the only suspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Relevant, he's divorced at this point.
Oh, shit, okay. Let's go talk to that ex. What's going on there?
What she got to say, right?
Yeah, what's she telling us? She got all the secrets.
She's got all these secrets. So with the new DNA tests confirming that his sperm was on Michelle's body at the time of her death, Diggy was arrested and charged with capital murder.
Good.
Diggy's ex-wife testified that he would go into a rage whenever she denied having sex with him.
See?
There were even a few times where she had to physically stop him from anally raping her.
No!
What the fuck?
Oh, no. That's why she got a divorce.
Yeah.
That is not safe.
Yeah. Uh-uh. No. She also said that whenever Michelle was brought up, he would say that she was a slut, a cunt, a bitch, a whore.
Damn.
Like,
slandering her.
All the fucking terrible things. And he said that he hated her.
That's so rude. But yet he helped clean up the crime scene and carry her body and all that shit?
Yeah, it's a little different than when he's telling the police that, like, she's like my sister, blah, 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 right?
That.
Mm-hmm. We're on to you, Diggy.
What an asshole.
He said that she acted like she was better than everybody else, too.
Oh, my God. She fucking was better than you.
Which, yeah, it just sounds like she said no to him and he was like, fuck you, right?
Yeah. But I guess that's consistent, though, with, like, him not coming with a weapon, right? Like, if he's just, like, comes into her house or something and she's like, you gotta get now. And then he's like, no, and then goes into a rage.
So I'll talk about it a little bit later, but that's, like, pretty much exactly
the theory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that he went over and was like, it's Valentine's Day. You want to fuck? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, I said.
I said, yes.
I said, do you want to fuck?
Yeah.
So Tamara Yamas was an ex-girlfriend of Diggy. She also testified that in March of 1987, which is just like a month after Michelle's murder, Tamara and Diggy were drinking, and he admitted to her that the night of Michelle's murder, he had been sitting out in front of her home drinking. Well, in front of his home.
Oh, God.
Which is also technically her home, you know?
Yeah.
And when he saw her come home, he went over there to talk to her. And since it was Valentine's Day, he's feeling frisky, right?
Oh, no.
She said, like, no thanks. And he, quote, got carried away and attacked, raped, and killed her.
Oh, no. She fucking, he confessed this?
Yeah.
She didn't say anything.
She didn't say anything.
Ugh, at least she's saying something now, but what the fuck?
Yeah. She said that he told her that he stole a couple pieces of her jewelry and then snuck back to his house through his bedroom window.
Ew.
Gross, right?
He took a trophy?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that.
So Tamara didn't say anything at the time because she was a drug dealer.
Oh, okay.
And I believe an addict at the time.
Yeah.
And she said that she thought,
I want to stay out of this.
I want to stay out of it. But she said that she also thought he was just bragging.
Blowing smoke.
Or like, yeah, bullshitting basically. And she's like, okay, cool. Yeah, sure you did.
Yeah.
So fun fact about Tamara, she was in prison serving 4 life sentences for the solicitation of capital murder and interstate trafficking of marijuana.
Oh, shit. Oh, God, that last one, though, was so dumb.
She only decided to come forward after Diggy had been arrested but she was not offered any kind of deal or anything.
She's just like, I heard this.
Yeah, she's like, hey, you fucking said this shit. Yeah. Diggy's response to that was something along the lines of like, well, did she mention that she's a drug dealer? You know, like, well, how can you believe that?
And that's like, not even true. That's not what I said.
It's not even what I said. Did she tell you that she uses kids to sell pot to other kids? Everyone's like, that's not what the question is.
Yeah. I don't care.
That's not what we're worried about right now, sir.
Yeah.
And the cops were like, sir, this is a Wendy's.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? Like, that's not what we're here for.
Yeah.
And Diggy was found guilty of capital murder and sentenced to death on March 3rd, 2004.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Good for him.
Yep.
Although he had so many fucking years free.
So fucking many.
Is he alive still? I guess.
Yeah, I think he is alive still. And he got divorced in 1995.
I wonder if he got anybody else. Like, did that happen to any? I mean, obviously his own wife was like, I had to fucking fight him off.
I mean,
probably. I hope they're looking into shit.
Yeah, right?
Like, mysterious. Where was this at?
This is in Harris County, Texas.
Texas. Oh, Jesus. It's a big ass state.
Yeah.
With not very friendly laws for women.
I was going to say, I don't think they care so much. It's like kicking a cat, you know?
Yeah.
Or they're like, can you not? But like,
is it being mean?
Just do it over there.
Well, goddamn.
Goddamn is right.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for that one.
Isn't it awful?
I fucking called it, just for the record.
I kind of set it up. I didn't tell you about anyone else. Oh, this other guy that you're introducing with details?
Don't take away my ability to solve crimes.
You should have been a detective.
Yeah. Remember when you said kitchen knife? I was like, they didn't plan it.
Mm-hmm. You did. Yep. They didn't plan it. They used the weapon that was available to them and a trophy, which is fucking horrifying.
If you guys want to check out pictures pertaining to Aaron's case, go to our social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. Our handle is at ISGDpodcast. If you want to email us, you can do that at ISGDpodcast@gmail.com, or you can snail mail us at
P.O. Box 2764, Spring Valley, California,
91979. And we love you more than all of the stars
in the sky.
Universe, metaverse, worlds, life, concept.
Bye.